Good morning. You are tuned into Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. My name is Brooke Schaefer, and I'm in the studio this morning with three guests that I'm excited to introduce you to. Amanda Roberts, who is the tobacco health educator at CERCH, Greg Dahl, who is the manager of AC Lakeside, and Lloyd Platson, who is the prevention director at Sitka Counseling. Thank you all three for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having us.
So we're here to talk about an anniversary. Actually, on the date, Amanda let me know before we came on air that today is the day to a year. Today is the day that this Tobacco 21 law came into existence or started happening here. So let's talk a little bit about what Tobacco 21 is. And I think, Amanda, I'll turn to you first for that.
Great. So Tobacco 21 is a... it's a law that really stems from the retail aspect. It, what Tobacco 21 is it's raising the legal minimum sales age for tobacco products from 19 in Alaska, obviously is the state age, to 21. And the idea behind this law change is hopefully to broaden that age and access to teens. And reducing teen use or teen initiation to tobacco products. That's
and
the goal behind the law.
This is something that happens elsewhere. This is a law that's been passed in other cities, other states. But Sitka was the first city to do it in Alaska. Is that right?
That's correct.
That's pretty exciting. And so you mentioned retailers were a big part of it. So I want to turn to you, Greg, that I guess there's probably some concerns from the retail aspect. Tell us a little bit about your involvement in this, getting this law passed. I understand there was a bit of a committee to make this happen.
Right. Basically, the other people made it happen, and they just asked a couple of my opinions. Having advance notice for all the people at Sitka, customers and retailers, was really important. Flyers were made that were very successful in relaying that message ahead of time. POS material, excuse my retail speak, POS means point of sale.
Okay, thank you.
And so we put flyers at the POS area, which is the cash registers, at each one, so our customers will know what's happening ahead of time. Our cashiers were given training by Joe Darnell from the state of Alaska. He's a tobacco enforcement the head of it in the state. So we had plenty of time, and it was a really smooth transition, really. Not a whole lot of negative feedback from the community at all. One concern from a lot of the retailers was, you know, are we going to see a decline in sales and profits? We haven't really noticed that too much at Lakeside. Tobacco sales have been trending downwards for quite a few years. But hopefully, with that decline in sales, you know, our customers will live longer, and then, you know, we'll make more money in the long run because they'll buy more groceries from us, right?
I love that logic, right? It's so better for everyone, actually.
It was really smooth transition, actually. Thanks to everybody that worked on this.
That's great. And I think, Lloyd, we can draw you into the conversation a little bit to sort of why something like this is important. And I know, Amanda, you have a lot of information about this as well, but why getting this law into place is so important.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest reasons, when you start looking at brain development and stuff, you know, our brains continue to develop until about the age of 25, 26. And so anything that we put into our bodies kind of preconditions our bodies, especially our brains, to maybe use more, or, you know, the dopamine levels go up on different things. And so keeping youth from using at an early age will help protect them from using later on. You know, nicotine's an addictive substance, so trying to keep that out of their systems until they are a little bit older is great. And I just think, you know, we want to have healthy youth in our community, and that's the biggest thing, is just to extend that age range a little bit before they may experiment. And the other thing is, what we're finding from research was that a certain age group, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, were oftentimes providing tobacco products to younger people. So expanding that age range where there's less contact with young people with older people is a positive thing also. one of the things that we just did some surveying in the community of youth, and our youth were using at a little bit higher rate all tobacco products than state and national levels. So it was really a concern for us to really try to address that problem. And again, I think everybody's goal would be to have healthy youth in our community.
So it sounds like it's kind of partly just to do with the physiology of the human being, to help people have a chance to have a fully developed brain before they start making these decisions.
Yeah, I think oftentimes we think that we're making decisions, but there's so much influence from media and advertising that, you know, we were talking earlier about the difference between advertising in the old days, like when my parents, when there was magazine ads and we had doctors and dentists saying, you know, this many percent more doctors smoke a certain brand of cigarette than others. And then you start looking at the change in advertising, knowing that youth today is really technologically connected. So you have the jewels that look like the USBs, and that's just more attractive to youth. And then all the flavorings that they have in tobacco products, and especially the vaping type electronic cigarettes and stuff. So.
But overall, this change has been successful, it sounds like. It sounds like you have new challenges, so vaping being one of them, that's kind of come in and maybe taken some of the space of cigarettes, traditional cigarettes. Can we talk a little bit about that? You have some upcoming programming. One of them is to go to Sitka High, is that right?
Yeah. So I think what I really want to stress is no one single policy or law change, I think, would be super successful standing alone. So I think thinking about things from an aspect of combined changes, different types of laws, so including like smoke-free or tobacco-free atmospheres, including our new smoke-free law, creating healthier environments, and also environments where it's making that healthier choice the easier choice. And especially, you know, socially changing the norms. I think another huge success point is community education is super crucial. So we actually had someone from the Sitka High School reach out to us to say, hey, we want to do something to address vaping. This is something we are concerned about. And we were happy to jump on it and help as we can. Again, these are our newer products. Newer on the market, especially in America. And so I think we're just going to share the statistics, the information, the data that we know of, and hopefully, again, just educating on the health harms that we do know about, especially the huge amounts of nicotine that are in these products that teens may not be aware of. These products are also engineered to be addictive. Mm.
Speaking of sort of the collaborative nature of everything you've been doing, that reminds me of something you were talking about earlier, which is that there have been state law changes with cigarette smoking in buildings. Mm-hmm. And so your program at CERT and maybe a committee, I'm not sure you can tell me, has sort of addressed some of the concerns about that by doing a monthly cigarette butt pickup. Can you tell us
about
that?
So this law change was obviously at the state level, you know, probably a good 5-6 years worth of you know, community education on all the different levels and all the regions of the state, and then working collaboratively with the hub of the state to make this law change. And when it went into effect, obviously we know it's something you have to prepare for, and you've got to prepare the community for. And so one of those ways of being helpful is wanting to provide support to the newly smoke-free businesses. And that includes appropriate signage. It includes just addressing what concerns they have. And for example, one of the concerns that we heard expressed from one of the local businesses that had just went smoke-free with this new law that went into effect last October was the potential increase in cigarette butt litter in the downtown area. And so we saw that as a very legitimate concern. And so we said, well, what can we do as a coalition, a local coalition, to address this concern? And so we started off with trying out a cigarette butt cleanup last October, And it was so wildly successful, and we got such great input from people in the community about it and these local businesses that we decided to start doing them once a month. So we just did one yesterday in honor of Tobacco 21. We had Siggy Butts come out and make an appearance, and the community loves that. And we picked up almost 2,000 cigarette butts off the streets of Sitka. So,
wow. Yeah. Nice.
And that's really kind of, I think, an average amount of cigarettes every time that we've done it. And and so, it's kind of fun to do, and it brings that awareness, I think, to the community that regarding cigarettes, smoking, and just, environmental health and personal health. So,
well, thank you for the work you do, and thank you all for coming in this morning, Amanda, Greg, and Lloyd. Yeah. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.